Blog Talk Radio.
August 8th, 2012. And as you know, I always say to myself, Animal, in social media, it's okay to make references to the Bible to make a point. I do it all the time. But don't get involved in any arguments or you're going to end up like Chicken Fillet or Chick-fil-A. We don't have them here, so I'm not used to that company. But here's the thing. If I make a reference to the Bible, nobody's going to have a recruiting Animal support day if everybody turns against me. But you know what? This past week, for some reason, I couldn't resist. And I criticized what someone said on Facebook. And I only did so because my point of view seemed so obvious that I couldn't believe anyone would disagree with me. I couldn't believe anybody would argue with me, but they did. The topic was the submission of women, and the biblical text says that the husband and the wife must submit to each other. They both have to do it, but they don't have to submit in the exact same way. No! It says the woman must submit to her husband in everything. Everything! Everything doesn't seem to leave much room for debate. That's why I thought there wouldn't be any. The man, on the other hand, he has to take care of the woman like she's his own body and soul. He has to attend to her needs. But that doesn't mean she has equal rights. It means that he has all the decision-making power. She can say she needs a new dress, and he has to listen, but he decides if it's a $50 dress or a $1,000 dress. She can say she needs a new computer, but he decides if she really needs one, and he decides if it's going to be a PC or a Mac. You know, my opponent said, this doesn't mean that a woman has second-class rights because she's equally valuable. And she has the right suitable to her. And I said, you know what? Your kids are valuable, but you don't give them equal rights. Kids have rights, but not adult rights. And if an adult has the same rights as a kid, those are second-class rights. And we kept going at it over and over again. And in the end, I didn't persuade anybody. But, you know, it got me thinking about something I hate. Servant leadership. I hate the idea of servant leadership because it's all so phony. The servant leader is just like the husband. He has to take care of his subordinates so they can do their work properly. But if he's making $100,000 a year and they're making $20,000, he's not a servant. And even if they're making $100,000 and he's making $1 million, he's not their servant. He's what normal people call a king. He's a king. And he only wants to call himself a servant to hide that fact, you know. The farmer takes care of his chickens so he can sell them to Chick-fil-A. But that doesn't make him the chicken servant, does it? Really, let me ask you this. I'm almost done. Steve Jobs. Was he a servant leader? He obviously gave his people what they needed to do great work. But we all know that he was an obnoxious tyrant. You know, words like steward and servant, they're just words the boss uses to hide his power from himself. He can be as rich as Croesus and as wild as Steve Jobs, but he can still call himself your subordinate. And now, Jerry, what show is this? Jerry? Oh, Jerry!
What? I'm here.
What show is it?
I can't do it now, man. That threw me off.
Hey, come on, give it a
try. What did you do?
I closed your mic for some reason. I don't know why.
Am I on?
Somebody else's. Or maybe, you know what? This dashboard, it plays around with these numbers myself. But if you're
all right, hold on. I got it. Wait a minute. Just give me just one second.
Okay.
I need to do my pre-shot routine. Hold on. wasn't my best, man.
You know what?
Do you think these Olympic gymnasts, when they're getting ready to do their thing, somebody runs out and says, hold on, wait a minute. Okay, go. It doesn't happen that way, man.
This dashboard
profession is about preparation and execution, and you blew me out.
Well, what do you have to say to yourself? I heard you going through a routine before you started up. What did you have to say to yourself first?
I can't tell you.
It's a secret.
I just can't tell you.
Okay.
Kind of.
Okay. You know, my guest didn't show up today. My main guest was supposed to be a guy named Eric. He's not here.
Eric
who? Pretty sure.
Let's ridicule him in public.
Is he here? Is Eric here?
I'm here.
Oh, hey!
You know what? I sent you messages all morning. Are you coming? And you didn't reply. So I got another guest.
I did.
You're both going to be on. Don't worry. You're both going to be on. And now is my other guest, all the way from England.
God.
Tim J. Barry. Tim, are you here?
Yes, Animal, I'm here.
Okay, this guy Eric Putkonen. He showed up. He told me he never replied. I'm sorry. But you know what? It's an hour show. I usually die halfway, and I don't have enough to talk about. With two guests, maybe I'll get somewhere, okay?
Which of the two guests is in a wind tunnel up at GM? With that little smoke thing.
There's another guest as well. My good friend, Peter Kasinge from Talent Bin. What's all the noise, really? Jerry's right. Talent Bin. Peter's not a guest. He's here because he wants to make an announcement, and he helped me. He's not only an alumnus of the Recruiting Animals show, he tried to help me get my Twitter name back. He was unsuccessful, as was everybody else. I had to use an unorthodox means in the end. But the guy tried for me, or said he did, and I appreciate that. So, Peter, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Now, before
Hi, Peter.
Hey, Jerry. How you doing, man?
You don't sound very happy to be here.
Hey, I'm just bummed that I didn't. I wasn't successful in. Actually, how do you know I wasn't successful in getting?
Because
your name
I had
back
to pay somebody to get it back for me. Okay.
What?
And it wasn't you, and it wasn't any of your contacts. Okay.
You had to pay to get your lousy Twitter name back.
Yeah, I had to pay somebody to get it back for me.
Jeez.
Wait, you had to pay somebody at Twitter, or you had to pay some?
No, I had to pay an independent agent to negotiate a relationship for me that worked.
With the potential owner. Wow, that's fascinating.
With
more
the
on that
guy
later.
That was holding it ransom?
We don't know what happened. I don't even know what happened, but nobody at Twitter gave a hoot. That's what I know. Okay?
How much did you have to pay?
I'm not going to say here because Twitter might, you know, not like it. 10 cents, okay? Hi, Maureen. Welcome back.
Maureen.
I'm here.
Maureen. Okay, we got tons of guests.
How have you been, Maureen?
We got tons of guests. Look, Maureen, but first, before we get going, I want to ask Tim Barry. His company is called InnovateCV.com. Am I right about that?
That's us. We are InnovateCV, yes?
Yeah. Is there a delay because you're over in England or something like that? I don't like those delays.
He's watching the Olympics live.
I got to ask him something first
of all.
He's
on voice over IP.
I told him not to use that. I said on your...
I'm calling in from a landline. Honest.
Okay. He sounds good. The other guest is the guy that's kind of messing us up here.
No, Eric. Eric showed up. You know, he's on time. That's okay with me.
And I replied.
But...
Eric, you didn't wimp out. Good on you.
No.
Okay, but before, look, I want to ask Tim something. On your company website, at the bottom of every page, you've got a video advertising Dove soap. What's up with that? It makes it look like you guys are broke, like you don't have any money, and you're selling a resume solution, but you got to advertise soap on your website. I don't understand it. Tell me about that.
Animal, what can I say? We love Dove soap. Every one
yes.
of us over here in the U.K., we use Dove every day,
mm-hmm.
and we love
like
those guys.
Is that like
so
a
we're
British
helping
thing
them out. We're giving them a leg up.
Okay. Now, look, we got three guests. Out of those three guests, we got to get a good song. Now, I chose a song I think everybody can manage. Yummy, yummy, yummy. You know that song?
No.
Peter? You
I have
know.
No idea what you're talking about.
Okay, Peter, we're going to sing a song called Yummy, Yummy, Yummy. Eric, you know that song?
No.
Okay, I'm going to teach you.
I thought we were talking about social media recruitment.
You know what?
Where
I'm getting the show
Bible...
going. Can you hold on a second? I'm
where
in charge
the Bible...
of the show.
where did the Bible and the Bible talk and the and now the yummy 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 song? Like, are you sure that this isn't the other animal guy who stole your Twitter handle also stole your show?
I wasn't talking about the Bible in the end. I was talking about the servant leader. You hear it all the time, although less so now than before. And I hate that servant leader baloney. Okay.
All right, it was above my. It was clearly above my head.
No, it's a legitimate business topic, okay? And now we're going to sing a song, and if you guys are, you know, successful men, you'll have the guts to sing with me. I will teach it to you, okay?
Okay.
Now I'm going to say the line, and you guys repeat it back to me. We'll sing it the second time all together, but first I'll do it. Maureen, you don't know Yummy, Yummy, Yummy by the Ohio Express?
I think I do.
By the Ohio Express? You live in Ohio!
Yummy, yummy, yummy.
Do I have to remind you? Yeah, it goes like this, guys. Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel
you.
Like I'm loving you. Okay?
Got it. I got the lyrics
that?
Up here in my browser.
Okay, so let's go. One, two, three, and we'll do that line. Then we'll
I'm getting
one.
Sad.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Just
back
okay.
And
let's
that,
get through
is that
it.
The social anxiety disorder,
yeah.
Jerry?
Okay, let's go. One,
seasonal.
Two,
seasonal affective disorder.
Oh,
there
my.
You go.
Losing sunlight.
Wait a second, Peter. Peter, are you ready? Peter.
I'm waiting for you, man.
I'm Jerry.
Okay.
I'm sad, and I'm okay.
Oh, you guys
with it.
Are wrecking the show, you two. Okay.
We make
one,
the show, dude.
One, two, three. Yummy, yummy,
yummy, yummy,
yummy,
yummy,
yummy,
yummy, yummy,
I got
love in
my
tummy,
and
yeah,
I feel yeah.
like loving you. Okay, now, love is such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing. That's just what I'm going to do, okay? Love you such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing. Their next
this song has
bad.
A creepy
just so
subtext.
You know, the next song they put out was Band Chewy Chewy. A lot
this
of
is a big
band.
Hit. This was a
yeah,
big
it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to sing just a few more lines, okay? One, two, three. Love you such
love
a
you
sweet
such
thing,
a sweet
good,
thing
enough
good enough
to
eat
thing,
eat thing
and that's what
I'm going
to
do.
Ooh, love to hold ya. Come on.
Ooh, love to hold ya.
You guys are terrible. Okay, forget it.
Well, you
it.
Changed the protocol. You were going one, two, three before, and then you just started
yeah,
singing
okay,
it.
Right. Okay, you know what? I don't know. We got no singers on this show. Okay. Now I just
recruiter.
Want to know what
Real
people
Real singers wouldn't sing on the show.
Okay, here's what I want. Yes, they would. Here's what I want to know from you guys before we really get going. Is everyone aware of that Rachel versus Adam Smith video fiasco from the Chick-fil-A episode?
No. Oh, the guy that pulled up there and started with all the jerky
yeah.
business?
Yeah, and he got fired. He was a CFO
that guy is
a legitimate company. Does anybody
I especially like the part of the video right at the end where he's saying, oh, and I'm not gay. I just want you to – I'm not gay.
Did he say that?
Yeah, that's funny. I'm like, you're
wait
right, dude.
Eric,
so there was
Eric,
a Scottish economist was in a video
yeah,
with
right. Eric,
a Chick-fil-A.
Should that guy have got fired? I don't think so. What about you?
No, I don't
Peter?
I don't know. I think the whole scenario is kind of
yeah.
really
okay. Peter,
low
Peter,
out of proportion.
Peter, Peter.
Yeah.
Should he have got fired?
I'm a big fan of the free market, and so I think Adam Smith is, you know, A-OK in my book.
Okay, good. Okay, do your thing. Tell us what you want to tell us about talentbin.com.
Oh, I mean, I thought we were going to be talking about Twitter recruitment, but, you know, I mean, we've been up to
oh,
a lot
okay.
of
well, well,
you, fun
you,
stuff.
You got something on your blog that you want to announce to everybody. Your girl, Jen, got in touch with me, right? You talk
oh,
about
yeah,
whatever
I mean,
you want. You got 10 minutes. Talk about whatever well, you want, okay?
Well, cool.
Go ahead.
Yeah, man. I thought we were going to talk about, you know, using using Twitter for sourcing. I mean, we've been – in terms of stuff that we've been up to – I mean, we've been up to a
no,
lot of stuff.
Whatever you prepared, whatever you want to talk about.
I got
about,
it.
I said, just put him on. I'll give him time. He can talk about whatever he wants. Go ahead.
Stop stalling for time.
I'm not. Hey, I don't want to get any crap from the guy on a delayed phone from the UK, okay?
He just did.
noted. Yeah, we've been up to a lot. We're now integrated. Our talent search engine is now integrated in a number of CRMs and ATSs. So Avature and also Compass are now consuming TalentBin data for passive candidate sourcing from open web candidate sourcing. So that's pretty cool stuff. But I think that, like, so Animal, you're pretty bearish on social media recruitment, aren't you?
That's Jerry.
Jerry's bearish on that?
Yeah.
Jerry, why are you bearish on using Twitter for recruitment?
It's just absurd. It's like taking the slow road to get where you want to go. If you really need to recruit somebody, Twitter's not where you start. Period.
Yeah. Interesting.
I would think if somebody started their practice day one and all they were going to do is be on Twitter and only follow people in the skill sets that they recruited and never get involved with any of your so-called recruiting experts like Animal, Marine, all these people.
You mean doing
real
work?
Problem is you get sucked all over into this whole discussion about crap that has nothing to even do with the fact that you need to find a CPA for your client in St. Louis. So Twitter is a joke for recruiting.
Okay, let Peter say whatever he wants.
And I'm pissed off about it.
Okay.
And he's pissed off about it. See, I would advance the claim that people are just doing it wrong because the so-called recruiting experts, you know, aren't doing a good job of, you know, explaining to them how to. So, like, you don't think that Twitter – well, I know that Twitter is useful for surfacing people and finding people based on their skill set. So, like –
perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, like, we all know that when it comes to candidate discovery, LinkedIn leaves a lot to be desired. There's not necessarily a lot of information that's going to be on people's profiles, but folks are spending a lot of time on Twitter talking about what it is that they do, whether that's their certification.
Hey, I'm losing track, okay? Come get to the point, will you?
Hey, my simple point. Yeah, I'm trying to give some very practical, you know, down in the trenches advice.
Not the introduction. Mike A. Stringer, your mic's open.
Thank you, Animal.
What should people do to make money on Twitter? I noticed Eric.
Shut it off.
Eric, our original guest today, Eric Patkonen from Minnesota, he runs a job board, and he's got a list of jobs going on his Twitter page all the time. Is that good?
No,
well, I think
well,
that, like,
hell no.
No,
it's aggravating is what it is.
Peter Cassidy from Talent Bin, he's going to comment on that. You go ahead.
I think there's two things, right? There's broadcast, and, like, everyone got all fired up about Bullhorn Reach and, like, signed up, and then, like, they started, like, you know, posting stuff, like, ad infinitum into people's stream. That only is terribly useful if you've got candidates following you. And, like,
you know what, Jerry? I actually made a couple of hires from Bullhorn Reach. I've been on it 6 or 8 months whenever it was beta, but I've made one or two hires.
Okay.
And is that because candidates were following you or because other recruiters were following you and flowed you a resume?
I don't even know. I mean, I don't know where they came from. They came through the Bullhorn Reach system. So does that mean they found my posting on the
magic
site? I don't know.
It was magic. So, I mean, I think that, like, broadcast, that's how most people think about this stuff.
Ass.
That I think broadcast is useful if and only if you have candidates who are, you know, who are following you. I don't know if that's how most people are used, like, have their Twitter
what
followers
you
set up.
Come on, don't
you don't even
out.
Need
don't
to broadcast.
It. Just
it's,
tell us.
It's a joke.
Hold on a sec. Just tell us. Okay, the show's going down. You know, I didn't know how many guests I was going to have. I'll give you all time. Don't
Good
worry.
Good planning.
Don't worry. But, Peter, what do you recommend is the best way for recruiters to get people on Twitter? Just give us a solution. Don't give us a problem.
So,
we know the problem.
Yeah, do more sourcing. Find people. And so there's a bunch of different ways that you can find those specific folks using tools that are in Twitter already. Like, does anyone on the call right now use Twitter lists? Are you familiar with these?
God. Yeah, we know what they are. What do you think, we're idiots? We've been here for ages. You're not talking to kids,
you know,
okay?
I tell you, man, this forcing these different tools to somehow squeeze a placement so you can say, hey, it worked. Everybody's kicking your ass that's not using that stuff, just trying traditional.
What do you
using
want
traditional
to do with Twitter lists? What do you want
it's
to do
ridiculous.
With Twitter lists? We know everything. Just give us a solution, okay? Get to the
Twitter
point.
List,
don't kill your. Don't shoot yourself in the foot with all shilly-shallying around. Just tell us what it is you want us to do.
Was that a slam on
no.
Shally
no.
Stackerel?
No, Twitter lists are a phenomenal way of finding people who have a specific
skill set.
You know
what? The job board doctor has been listening to you for 10 minutes, and he says this is a show about nothing, okay? Now, that's some real feedback.
Is Banya here?
Just get to it now, okay? Before I have to pull out the shepherd's hook, and your girl is going to write me incessantly on account of that. Please, tell us how we can make money on Twitter.
Use Twitter lists to identify candidates that you're not going to be able to find on LinkedIn, because they're not going to have their skill profile on LinkedIn. They're going to be put on lists by other people. So, for instance, this guy's a Ruby engineer because he's been put on a bunch of Ruby engineering lists. That's one way you can do it. Another, have you guys used hashtags for surfacing folks?
We know everything, okay? Just tell us how you want it.
Hold on, Animal. We don't want your guest to assume that he's supposed to say only stuff that none of us have ever heard. Let him go with it, man. Stop hacking him off. Go, Peter.
Hashtags are really useful as well. What it comes down to is sourcing people based on the gestures they're engaged in on Twitter. So, for instance, I think about technical recruiting all the time. If somebody attends PyCon or Java 1 or like RailsConf, you know, a conference that is professionally oriented, mm-hmm. and they use that hashtag, that is a phenomenal way of surfacing that candidate and saying, wow, look at that. That guy is, you know, a Java engineer at Java 1, and lo and behold, you know that is his skill profile, even though he wouldn't necessarily have that information on his LinkedIn profile. That's really, really useful. You
Eric
can also
Pacona,
hack.
Do you agree with him? Eric Putkonen.
Echo.
Oh, you're talking to me.
Echo.
Yeah, I agree with him.
You know, it comes down to the 80-20 rule. I mean, I think most of the time you can find most of the information you need on LinkedIn. And
that's total crap. That's not the case at all.
Well, the thing is, every time I've delved into Twitter looking for candidates, and they're even more ephemeral than on LinkedIn.
I think you're missing the point. The candidates that aren't on LinkedIn and have like zero on their LinkedIn profile, they're other places online. So,
true.
Yes, you can find folks on LinkedIn. Phenomenal. Great. You and all the other recruiters can too. Have fun. You're always going to be in a multi-offer situation sending emails to somebody who already got 10 today.
I call BS on that.
If you want to find somebody else who hasn't been picked over, you got to go somewhere else. Right? So that's why
you got to call in.
That's discovery is one piece, and then give them a call, right? Like Marine's always talking about that, and recruiters need to do that, but you got to find them first.
I have a question. You find them, how do you identify them? Because, you know, sometimes they use monikers like, you know, rocket scientist, and how do you get to them?
Yeah, and their profile says nothing about.
He's saying go through the hashtag.
Where he works. Jerry's
go through
right.
the conference hashtag. That's what
he's
saying.
Yeah, okay, so you follow them,
and
then
how
they don't
you
follow you back.
Them?
I mean, do we assume that they think, oh, thank God, this recruiter followed me. I'm going to follow him back and sit here and waiting for him to post something.
Peter,
hey, man, that was my reaction when
Jerry's
you followed
right.
me, Jerry. I took the rest of the day off after you followed me.
I understand.
But that's Jerry.
That's me. Okay.
How do you
We're
get them to respond to you?
People.
Can't you engage someone and get to know them? Hello?
Yeah, see, I think that's another thing, right? So it's almost like pipelining. So there's two things. One, if you discover them, that doesn't mean you necessarily have to engage with them on Twitter. So you can get – it's like name sourcing, right? You get the name. Now you know that person's a Java engineer, right? You go over to LinkedIn. His LinkedIn profile doesn't say squat about him. It says MTS at Google.
I find it interesting that you say you get the name and then go to LinkedIn when you just said
exactly.
LinkedIn sucked 5 minutes ago.
Well, Jerry, maybe I should whiteboard it for you, but the point here is if we're finding
Would
a
you?
Java engineer, if we're trying to find a Java engineer, then we go over to LinkedIn and it doesn't say Java on its LinkedIn profile, are we going to be email? How would we have discovered him on LinkedIn?
Why wouldn't it say Java on his LinkedIn profile?
Because
you
didn't put that information
on
it, Turbo. We just defined that.
We have a question.
How many of these guys hang out on Twitter?
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
A hell of a lot more than on LinkedIn. The only people who are on LinkedIn are recruiters and sales jocks. Have you ever noticed that?
That's who's on Twitter, too. Recruiters and...
Well, hold on. You know what?
Conference
Dennis disagrees
speakers.
With you. DennisSpeaks.com.
You know, my kids are on Twitter. Maybe they'd be good candidates.
Yeah. Now, hold on. So let me see, Peter. You gave us a good idea. Look for
mm-hmm.
the hashtags for the trade shows or the professional conferences, right?
Yep.
And recruit using those hashtags. Anything else?
Yeah, I got another one for you.
I have a question, though.
What's your question? What are you making your voice sound weird to all the listening?
I have a question.
We know it's you, Maureen.
It's me. What if he's not on LinkedIn? Then how do you find him?
Your phone number.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say. Like,
his phone number.
How did you do it back in the day? Now you, like, you
wait
back
a minute,
in the
wait
day.
Wait a minute.
Is not
you
a
found him
word,
on
okay?
Twitter. Wait a minute. You found him on Twitter. His name is Rocket Scientist on Twitter.
Well,
he's
not Rocket
Java.
Scientist.
He hashtag Java. How do you find him?
TweetDeck, Maureen, shows you the person's real name.
Okay, so you have the name.
Like, Ala Recruiter is actually Amy Ala. You can see right here.
So
Jeff Dickey Chasins, Tim
so
Berry.
Now you've got a name. You've got
you
have
a name.
Name
you go to LinkedIn.
A, and
he's
you've
not
got
there,
a geography.
Then what?
Hold on. You got a name and you got a geography,
okay.
Right?
Grand
and so now,
maybe,
you know,
maybe.
You can use Google. Well, no. I mean, you read their tweets. You see what list they've been put on. You check that out. You get essentially, this person's in Toledo, right? Mm. And his name is Pete Kazanji. Now you go to Google and you look for trails of Pete Kazanji in Toledo or the White Pages or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's like old school name sourcing.
Yeah,
you got anything else for us?
Yeah, this is a great hack for recruiters to essentially steal attention at conferences. I got this from a sourcer at Lockheed, Jason, I forget his last name. So there's a concept of a promoted tweet. What you can do is you can buy promoted tweets and essentially advertise an opening. So, for instance, he used this for recruiting recruiters. They were at a recruiting conference. And so you know how if you ever go to those conferences, they have, like, the Twitter wall, like, cascading down in front of everyone?
Mm-hmm.
He had a little promoted tweet sitting up at the top that he bought the hashtag for that conference.
How much?
Saying, hey, it was cheap. It was, like, under $20. And essentially it was sitting there as an ad all day long in front of, like, 300 recruiters saying, Lockheed's hiring recruiters. Ping us at this. He got, like, 15 inbound from it. It was pretty awesome, actually.
That's cool.
But, I mean, that's just more – that's, like, using advertising as opposed to sourcing. But, you know, those are all different ways that you
– New school,
you know,
print
you can,
advertising.
Your time's up.
Can
done.
I ask a question before his time's up?
Talentbin.com. Talentbin.com. What are you on Twitter?
We're Talentbin Hiring, but, you know, I'm more entertaining, so just follow me at Kazanji.
Yeah, but who can spell Kazanji, okay? Did
Acebringer
want to ask you a question before you sign off?
Google will autocorrect it.
Somebody wanted to ask
question.
A question?
Yeah, I want to ask a quick question. Do you recommend recruiters who use Twitter, and I really don't use Twitter for sourcing, but if you do, to do it under a separate handle? So, in other words, if you're using your primary Twitter handle, maybe interact with clients or sort of get your name out there and build a brand, do you suggest a separate handle to do sourcing and recruiting?
No, I think you want to look like a normal human, right? So, like, when you go and you discover that candidate and you follow them, right, and, like, you're now following, like, you're paying attention to what they're doing day-to-day and you at-reply them, if they go and look at your Twitter handle and all it is like, a stream of job postings, they're going to be like, that's total crap, right? Versus, like, oh, okay, I get it. This is, you know, Jerry. He's really into long walks on the beach and the movies and, you know, doesn't like Twitter, right? Now
you hate Obama.
Oh, hush a minute.
Okay.
I think you want to be
Obama
that
is
note,
destroying
and on
this
that
country.
Note, I'm going to switch to the other two guys. Thank you, Peter Kazanji.
Thanks, Peter.
Always nice to have you. I'm sorry about the disorganization. You got lots of time, but my other two guests won't, okay? So I have to
now
switch to them.
Get
now.
Out there and make yourself a placement.
Okay, now, Eric Putkonen.
Why, yes.
Eric Putkonen, a man of Finnish heritage, I assume. You have a Twitter page that our good friend Peter from talentbin.com just said is garbage. Yours doesn't have a name on it. It's got Min Tech Jobs, and it's just a stream of jobs, right?
Yeah, I pretty much was just doing it because everybody else did it. I mean, mine is a bad example. Mine's crap, really.
Yours is crap. Okay. I noticed you've got only 39 followers. And are you an IT recruiter? I couldn't tell online. You've got an IT job board, but you're working as a corporate recruiter for United Health or something like that.
One of their divisions, yeah. So I'm doing more healthcare, epic niche stuff. But
like
much
what?
Of my time has been It just Epic certified builders, pretty much, is
Epic.
What I
recruit. Sorry, I don't know what
so.
Epic is. You got to tell me.
Epic.
It's the big. It's the big electronic medical record revenue cycle system for hospitals. Think of a big ERP like SAP or something.
Okay, so but you're recruiting IT people. You're recruiting IT people. Is that right?
They can be considered IT people, but it's not really as IT as I've done in the past.
It's more development?
Well, a lot of developers, they're building tables in the systems and setting them up. It's not like programming or systems administrator or anything like that.
Like network engineering?
Okay, so let me just switch. I just want to get Timmy in here, too, before we...
I want to find out what the other guy is.
So he's got the other guy. He's got his name is Tim J. Berry, and he's got a very lively like walk on the beach type bio. He says he's got an African heart, a Celtic soul. He's a caffeine junkie, an innovative CV evangelist, a Liverpool FC supporter, a plastic scouser, a single malt slipper. Into mobile, social, and video. I mean, like...
Shipper, that is, animal.
Shipper?
Shipper.
Zipper? Zipper?
A zipper, yeah, that's right,
zipper.
Tim?
It's a whole lot of adjectives. What does it mean?
Yeah, I mean, so you getting a lot of action from
your... It's me
in
a nutshell.
Okay, you know what? Here, I'm going to talk to Timmy for a few minutes because he stepped in, Eric, and then we'll come back to you. I mean, like, it shows wild, disorganized, terrible. But I apologize. You know, although Eric had a joke on his Twitter, he said a web developer walks into a bar but quickly leaves when he sees the table layout. I didn't get that.
I don't get it either.
Okay, so let's just find out one second, because we can all talk about resumes. Innovate CV, right? What is that? What's Innovate CV? And I got to tell you, I spent a lot of time doing research on both you guys now, and I'm not going to get to use it at all. What is Innovate CV?
Okay, Animal. Innovate CV is enabling job seekers, recruiters, employers to take the CV into the 21st century. Going beyond
PDF, now, how do you do
it's
that?
Going beyond Word, it's going beyond
how
a LinkedIn profile.
Aren't
how
we in the 21st
that?
Century?
Yeah, but
we're
the
in the 21st century,
boring.
Exactly. So we have to get with the times. We have to use the technology that's available. We have to let job seekers and recruiters use video, use audio, be able to upload work samples, documents, be able to get more of an idea of the personality of the candidate.
Have you ever heard of Visual CV?
I've heard of Visual CV, but...
And it went out of business, right?
Goodness.
But what we are doing at Innovate CV is incorporating these elements into a new brand of CV or application format. It's enabling the job seeker and the recruiter to get the most out of the existing technology.
I like the idea. I applaud your effort.
I do have a question.
I'm one right now. Who writes these?
What?
Do you have writers?
The candidate.
The candidate writes their own. I can see that. Okay. All right.
The candidate creates their own CV. They put their own personality into the CV. They show off themselves to the best of their ability. Or the recruiter can create an application template, as it were, to ask the candidate to provide the information in whatever format, video, text, multimedia, to show off what they need to know about the candidates. So it's using all those different media.
How does it integrate to the ATS?
That information can all be fed into the ATS. Obviously, the video would need to be viewed through the Innovate CV portal, but it's possible to be downloaded. All the attachments, the documents, anything additional to the information which is usually fed into a database can be downloaded and stored there.
Yeah, on that question, though, whoever asked that, how does it integrate to the ATS? Why does everything have to integrate to the ATS? Can't the internal corporate HR lazy ass click on a link in the resume that's in their ATS and go check something out?
That
Jerry,
won't.
Jerry,
come
Jerry,
on,
Jerry,
these lazy
Jerry,
people.
Fine,
click
you,
the
Jerry.
Link.
Jerry, they have
Jerry,
hold on.
That's exactly the point. Why can't they click on the link?
Yeah,
Everyone's got internet access.
No, they certainly will too, Janice. Sure they will.
If it's a link to a video,
who else said I was wrong?
You don't
want
to watch it. Who doesn't want to watch a video? If someone applying for a job, if you're a recruiter, if you're an employer, you want to see that video. You want to see what they got to say.
What if your candidate's a big fatty?
I don't want to see the video. Okay. At the end, maybe after I make a selection from a resume, that would be a nice add-on. I don't want to watch videos all day.
Yeah, I don't need the video. But I don't think everything in the world has to integrate to an ATS.
Yeah, but the companies want them to integrate to the ATS.
So what?
Well, I agree with you. I'm just saying they want them so that they are following EEO and everything else, Jerry. I'm not saying it's right. And, you know, they'll just put it into the ATS so they can be lazier and not go back to the ATS they never go into anyway.
Exactly. All right.
The other option is, as a recruiter, once you have that information, once you've got the candidate's details, you can then select those candidates that you want to screen, send them requests through the Innovate CV format to record a video answering a certain question, answer multiple choice questions, or write about a particular subject that you need to qualify them for that role. So you can screen them remotely. And this is saving time in the whole screening and cutting down on unnecessary interviews.
You know, I got to apologize to Eric Putkonen. He arranged it to come on today a month ago. And I he's getting totally sidelined. Eric, I have a sincere apology to you. And I'd like to arrange for you to come on another time because you might have to go at 1 o'clock or something and we'll have barely gotten to talk to you. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have to go at 1?
Yeah.
You want to book busy. Want to book another date? Want to book another date with me
for a whole hour? For a whole hour, okay. Yeah, we could arrange another time.
Okay, so I mean, you can stay on today, but you know, you're going to get the short end of the stick. I can tell. So what we'll do is, after the show, I'll book another date with you. Okay.
Okay.
Via your MinTech job, so you look there. I know you're not interested in your Twitter page, but you check it out for me. Okay,
oh,
Tim Barry.
23 minutes.
Are we done with MinTech TV?
Tim Barry. We got Janice here. We got all the resume people ready to attack this guy. I want to give them a chance to do so, okay? So please go ahead.
Okay. One thing I like the key skills level of expertise squares. I think that's cool. Okay.
Thank you.
So, yeah, because everybody, you know, areas of expertise, they splat down a bunch of words. You don't know who knows what and how much they know. So I like that a lot. The only thing I see a template with a background of snowflakes or something like that. And that's okay.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Innovate CV. I'm looking at Trevor Johnson's CV. I've got one in front of me.
Yeah, where did you find that? Where Trevor Johnson?
On his website. Okay. InnovateCV.com/sample/Trevor. TREVOR. I mean, the only thing that I see, and I don't know that this is your problem, that's why I asked you who wrote these, is, and this is not coming from a writer, it's coming from a person who, I need to see what I need to see right now or I'm moving on. And I just see boring content, does this, does that. I don't see something that's going to jump out at me to tell me that this is the guy I need to look at because he's got the qualifications.
Yeah, are you just giving people another site to put up a lousy resume?
Well, sort of, okay. But
I can't even find the samples on
can
here.
Can I answer the question? Can I answer the question?
Yeah, but where
what
can I find your samples here?
Yeah, these are samples from our sites which people have created for themselves to send out when they're applying for jobs.
Yeah, I'm looking for the word sample or example or...
CV examples, yeah.
Yeah, where would that be on your easy-to-find website? What?
InnovateCV.com.
Yeah, I'm all over that page is what I'm trying to say. Where's the example?
/sample/Trevor.
I don't want to type in any crap. Where's the
all
button?
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, where is the button on here?
Can you see where it says view the CVs in our gallery? View the CVs
where?
In our gallery.
I'm looking at it. I'm trying really hard. Find out more.
I see.
On the top, on the left, on the right, on the bottom.
You're looking at the U.S. version of our website.
I put some of the pictures at the bottom. See where it says find out more, and you've got
Three of them. I just clicked on that, and then it came up.
Find out more.
Right.
Yeah, and then they got pictures.
On the U.S. version, you need to click on the pictures at the bottom. That's
you know what?
Yeah.
You guys
here in the U.S., we need it spelled out a little bit more.
Yeah,
up top.
You're
just
right. Jerry's right about that, okay?
The Laura Wilson is quite the catch.
This is really no different than somebody making sure they've got their profile on LinkedIn, from what I see from Trevor.
Well, no, the difference is where we work with corporate HR, where we work with recruiters, we would white label that CV template, the application format, so that the information and the way it's presented is in the way in which the recruiter wants to receive it.
And who grades novice to expert? I mean, that's a subjective thing that should kill a candidate in the mind of a resume reader.
Oh, I'm okay with it, Alan.
Yeah,
relax a little bit, man.
Too much coffee.
So
yeah, but you know what?
At the application stage,
you're
the candidate rates themselves.
You're selling something through a sample, and that sample really needs to be upgraded in its content, or it doesn't look compelling to buy.
How much is it?
Let's see.
Get to Maureen.
How much is it? Who pays for this?
Free. It's free. If you want to go on, create an Innovate CV for yourselves, go ahead.
How
it's
are you
free.
Making money?
You can do it.
How are you making money?
By white labeling and customizing the product.
So if you like this guy, pay us and we'll tell you who he is, right?
No,
oh,
not at all. Maureen. Not at all.
Oh, jeez.
That's what I'm hearing.
I don't care. How
That's
do you make
not
money?
What he
we're,
said.
We're letting recruiters customize the way in which they receive this information.
And they're not
so
paying
they,
for
they
it?
Have their own portal in which candidates can apply using templates which they have customized, they've created for themselves. So they have, for example, they can have a different template for each different role that they're recruiting for. So the information is received in a way in which it's going to help them to decide on which candidate is the best for that role quicker, and they have that information all to hand straight away.
So they're paying for that privilege.
So it's kind of like the ATS system gives you a bunch of questions at the beginning of your, you know, if a candidate comes there, I think Eric wrote about this on his blog, they have to answer three questions. Do you have a BA? Do you know this language? You know, how many years experience do you have? And so they screen people like that. Recruiters use your site for the same purpose. Is that it?
Well, in a way, yes. I mean, that can be embedded in the CV template or the application system, but it's far more complex than that. There's far much more that you can extract from the candidate than just getting them to answer two or three questions. You can see them speaking to you, telling you why they want to work in the role or for the company. And there's so much more that you can get from them using this format than just the answers to several basic questions.
You see, if I were you, I would figure that guys like Alan are going to come on this show and say, what's the difference, what's the radical difference between this and LinkedIn? And you'd have number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. I'm going to assassinate you. I was waiting for you to ask me that question, and I'm going to crush you, Alan!
Yeah,
no,
Alan.
No. And you're not doing that. You sound like you're on the defensive.
I sound like you. I just want to know if it's valuable. I want to use it. If it's one more LinkedIn also ran kind of thing and there's not value in it, look, we're in a great social media place. We got compared to the auto companies, we got 123 auto companies. 6 years later, we had three. Everybody's trying to figure out what works. Does this work? Has anybody tried this and had good fortune with it?
Good point.
You know what? I got to say one thing, though. He came on the show at the last minute with no prep at all. However, he
Respect.
Is a salesman. He is a salesman. And as a salesman, he should be ready to answer questions like this in his sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning if someone wakes him up. Okay?
Animal, let me ask
Animal?
You this.
Animal,
what
if you give me a chance to speak, I would answer the question.
Let him have it. He wants a chance to speak. Go ahead.
We're working with a lot of clients over here in the UK and also in the US. We've got an office out in New York. Over here in the UK, we work with some of the biggest hotels in here in London, like the Athenaeum and the Grove. Out in New York, we work with New York Life. So we've had a lot of success with the clients that we're working with. And going back to the point regarding LinkedIn.
Why do they come to you? I want to know. That's what he wants to know. Why are
yeah.
these companies coming to you. Why?
This has
been an
Innovate CV and a LinkedIn profile is. An Innovate CV is yours. If your company gets a candidate to create an Innovate CV and apply to your company, that's yours. No one else can access that. People can look up anybody on LinkedIn. And
good
people
point.
Who are applying for jobs on LinkedIn are suggested to apply for other jobs with similar companies. We don't have that. Your Innovate CVs, your candidates are yours. We don't share our information. We don't have a searchable database.
Yeah, but they probably also have LinkedIn profiles as well. I mean, let's be realistic. If someone's smart enough to make their way to your – or how do they make their way to your site? Does the company, when they advertise for the job, do they provide a link to their portal at your – to their page at Innovate CV? Did you understand me? There's a silence at the other end. Still there?
Yeah, sorry, Animal. I'm still here. Sorry,
what, are you talking to somebody
second.
Else while you're talking to me?
Ordering
on,
another pint.
Have some respect.
You don't, yeah.
You know what? How
you
do
just
they
tap on the glass when it's getting a little low. You don't need to put the phone
to
and
you?
Talk to
you. How does a person get to your site when this hotel advertises? Do they provide a link that takes the person to Innovate CV, and then they have to use the Innovate CV format to write a resume for that hotel? Is that how it works?
Well, it can be as simple as we create a portal which is embedded in that company's website. So their careers page is provided by Innovate CV. So when anybody's looking for a job at The Grove, for example, they would apply to Innovate CV.
Louder, louder, louder. Now, the thing is, do I have to rewrite my whole resume to apply to The Grove? I can't just submit my existing resume. Is that right?
Not at all. You can submit your existing resume, and those details would be included on the application, along with the additional information like a video or work samples or certificates which you want to include on that Innovate CV application.
Now, I like that.
But you
right on
put
the
it
side.
In that template, though.
For people who can't see it, on the side of this guy, Trevor Johnson, thank you, Janice, for identifying this page. He's got his pictures of his degrees and his certifications.
Can somebody read Job Board Doctor's tweet? Because I think it's very applicable.
What does it say there, Mike?
He said that you're going to owe a royalty to Seinfeld for this show because it's about absolutely nothing.
Okay. I screwed up. I didn't know if my guest was coming. I didn't know what Peter really wanted to talk about. What can I say? But we're talking about Innovate CV right now, and I think I'm asking the guy some relevant questions. So let the past, leave the past behind, Job Board Doctor. I mean, I'm asking the guy. Janice was an expert. She's asking him. Alan's an expert. Everyone's saying, why should we go to you? And obviously, his company is successful. They're selling big companies this service.
Exactly.
There's something in it for them. I just don't get it myself yet.
It sounds like exclusivity. He's selling exclusivity.
So what?
And lots of companies sell big companies things that are useless. I mean, come on.
Well, it sounds like that's...
I wish I could do that.
Yeah. You know anybody that's in need of some useless stuff?
For real.
Animal. The uses for a company which is using this as an application process is it's saving them time in recruiting staff. It's reducing their cost of hire.
Okay, see, that's
giving
different.
Them a better
is,
idea
you just,
of
hold
the
on
people
second.
Who are applying
hold
at the
on a
initial
second,
stage.
Tim Barry. You can hate me after this show. I don't care. Although I like you. But you just said something different that you should have told us at the beginning. This is
yeah,
not just a resume.
Way from the beginning.
This is an
How
applica-
is he doing that?
This is an application process. This isn't a resume. It's an application form. Is that right?
I would call it a hybrid between an online application
okay,
and
well, you know,
resume.
Janice, are you there?
Yeah.
Would you agree with me that an application form is different from a resume? And he would have been doing himself a favor if he said at the beginning that this is an application form that in the end creates a unique resume for the employer. Is that fair? Is that a better way than he presented his own product himself that he should use in the future?
Yeah, and I think what it looks like is this, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Can you talk into the phone, Janice? You're not that far away. This guy's in England. I can hear him better than you.
All right, hold on. I'll speak up. This looks like a template, an application form template. that it allows you more freedom than the lines and spaces of an application. It looks like it's not a LinkedIn profile only because it can be maneuvered better than a LinkedIn profile. You can send it totally in total to an organization, okay? Or an individual can apply at an organization's website using this thing. It's got various platforms in which to demonstrate what you've done. That's cool, okay? I really like the expertise on the right-hand side. What I would really suggest you do, okay, and it's not just because I'm a writer, but I would suggest for your samples, you have better written content so this thing looks more professional. Other than that, I don't think it's a bad idea. The snowflake is going to have me dizzy, but that's okay.
Yeah, on an application form, he can't hire somebody like you to write it for him, can he?
We do that every day.
Oh, really?
Sure.
Well, you maybe
Dennis,
should partner
Dennis,
with Trevor, or Tim, rather.
The sample CVs are random. The sample CVs are random.
But
so
they shouldn't be for your samples.
We don't control
what
them.
What you're marketing up there should be professional. Mine are.
No, I think he's being more honest by having these sample resumes that are random. This is what people create, and that's what they're
going to
look like.
This is what
like.
Anybody can do. Anybody can create a CV, an application that looks like this. It's your own work.
This is like an application form on steroids, an online application form on steroids. Is it hard to fill out? Is it tedious to complete one of these? Because you know what? When people apply for jobs, that's their big complaint. When they apply online, you know, it takes them forever. They don't even get a reply, and they feel like they've been cheated.
Well, no. The minute you register on InnovateCV.com or with any of our partners' portals, you get an immediate welcome. It's easy to complete. There's guidance all the way through when you are completing the template, if you call it a resume or a form, if you call it an application, and you get a notification, you get response as soon as you've submitted it, and you're kept up to date at every stage of the process.
From who? Response from who? You don't control your clients. You don't know if they, you know, follow up with people.
We're talking applicant experience here?
Applicant experience, yeah, precisely. It's automated in the sense that every action from the candidate or the recruiter has an automatic reaction or response.
So your real clients are not the job seekers. It's the companies that need sophisticated application forms. Is that right, Tim? Tim Berry, African Soul, Celtic Heart, or whatever it is that you've got?
Glass Slipper.
That's right. That's right, Animal, definitely.
So you're the salesman. You've got a sort of an understated approach. Don't you think as a sales rep you have to be a little more lively, that you should drink Red Bull or put some extra shots of espresso in your Starbucks? Don't you get the feeling? Do you ever get that feedback? Liven it up, Tim?
Hey, I'm an English guy. This is what we're like.
You guys were
That's
quoting
why we
kicked Bill
your ass.
From an African heart, you know?
You guys were quoting Bill Borman on your blog, okay? Bill Borman, the resume expert or the social media expert. And Bill Borman is a lively guy. He's not an understated man, is he?
Whatever happened to him?
Ask Tim. He's over in England.
He's still alive.
Good. Tell him I said hello.
I will do, Jerry, definitely.
What else would you like to tell us, Tim?
I don't know, Animal. What do you want to know? I feel sorry for Eric because this is maybe his
Eric
show.
Yeah, Eric got sidelined. He should have answered me. I was trying to get in touch with him. I feel bad, too.
Now, when you have as many different profiles and email addresses on the Internet as Eric does, you don't know which one to send to who or what. It's...
How long have you been doing this, Innovate CV? How old is the company?
You know what?
We've been around for
several years.
Let me ask
some questions. Maureen, give me a break, okay?
You're not asking any questions.
You've clobbered this whole
I've actually got some good questions. I spent 2 hours doing intensive work on this guy because
you spent too long.
He's got all kinds of stuff on it. They have a blog on their website. Some of the stuff rubbed me the wrong way. It says conventional wisdom assumes that a serial job hopper will continue the pattern in future companies. But really, there's zero correlation with an applicant's previous job-hopping behavior and his or her loyalty and tenure in the new position.
That is absurd.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Tim,
no,
that's
no,
on
Animal,
your website.
Animal, you
about
can't,
the,
you can't judge a guy by
commercial.
His past. You can't judge a guy by his past. Just
oh, Lord.
He's
I think that's
in his past
what we all do.
So
it's called interviewing.
Yeah.
I think if
the future.
If your company is the right one, if the opportunity you're giving the guy is the right opportunity, he's going to stay with you. So past history is not relevant in that regard.
But he thought every job was an opportunity or he wouldn't have taken it.
Well, in his defense, okay, there's a little something. Because of what we've just been through in the last 5 years, people have been forced to change jobs. So
yeah.
There's a little of that that you can give him. But, you know, if people don't stay, companies want to know why. We do nothing but train people to answer these questions. Why'd you take it? Why'd you leave it? Why only 18 months three times? Okay, and how do I know you're not going to be another 18 months? I mean, you really can't overcome that unless something's been going on with a recession.
Yeah,
listen,
and I hate to agree with
him. Animal cannot get a woman. That's not going to suddenly change tomorrow.
Right. He's probably not going to get a woman tomorrow.
But I hate to agree with him, but he does have a point in the sense that look at the way companies are treating people. They demand loyalty, 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 and at the drop of a hat, they drop 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people, and it's been happening fairly often in the last 5 years.
We're not talking about the last 5 years, though. We're talking about somebody who has only lasted maybe 2 years. For
yeah.
five or six jobs in a row. There's,
and you know what? I'm doing a bunch of sales recruiting right now, and I'm looking at salespeople resumes all day long, and I'm looking behind 2008.
Yeah.
And if somebody's a job
yeah.
hopper, forget it. If they've been a job hopper since the year 1995, there's nothing
right.
to tell me they're not going to be a job hopper
right.
again.
Exactly. And if they are, and if the market's been heating up, then maybe your client needs to accept the fact that if they're not willing to step up and they don't have the culture to keep the good people, they're going to have these people for 18 to 24 months, and they're going to keep churning.
I'm not sure what you just said there, Alan.
Yeah, me neither. Okay.
Later.
Oh, I am, except that I don't know that it's got to do with judging a candidate.
I
agree
with A. Stringer.
Okay, here's something else on their site. Always send a cover letter with your CV. Even if a recruiter doesn't read it, they'll notice if it's missing. Your CV now has far less chance of being read, let alone being taken seriously. That's nonsense as well. Anybody with me on that?
Yes. It's all animal. It also goes back to the ladder.
I think you have to make the efforts. You always have to make the efforts.
Yeah, but you don't
know.
You don't know. As a candidate,
Jim.
As a job seeker, you don't know if the recruiter is gonna read the cover letter or not. So you
yeah,
have
but,
to include it.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You always have to. You have to.
But you say even if you've sent it to someone who doesn't read cover letters, they're gonna not take you seriously because you didn't send one. That's absurd. We're recruiters. We don't.
Who doesn't read a cover letter? How unprofessional can you be?
I never read them. They're garbage.
That's absurd.
They're
no, you
garbage.
Gotta read them, but you have to
don't
read them.
Have the professional courtesy to review someone's. Well-written cover letter. Shame on you, lazy ass.
Oh, honestly.
But Jerry makes the point.
Jerry, can
you know what? If you look at most candidates, if I was to read their cover letter, I'd realize that they sent it. They addressed it to a company they applied to 5 companies ago, so I'd better off not reading it.
Okay.
Hiring managers
you guys
tend to
are
read
fools.
Them more than recruiters do. Hiring managers tend to read them more than recruiters do. And the thing is, you've got a selling opportunity, which you can communicate different than you do on a resume. We include them. You don't want to read it? That's fine. We'll include it on a resume, too. I mean, but we've got people who read cover letters. They never get to the resume. We need to include everything important on it. We got people who do not read cover letters, so we need to include
yeah,
everything
but you
on the
know
first
what?
Third page.
When you've read a million cover letters and 99% of them are garbage, you're not looking for that 1%. You figure it's not there, okay?
Well, right. Except
okay, now
I'll
just, he's got one other thing here I just want to, you know, make him answer for, even though he didn't write any of these things, but they're there. If you're looking for a mentor, go on LinkedIn and find somebody who you don't even know and approach them there. That's what he says. Now, they got 3 questions. They're not necessarily looking for a full-time mentor. You can just ask a guy a couple of questions about his job, 3 key questions. But does anybody think that's an interesting idea, going on LinkedIn, meeting a stranger, approaching a stranger to be your mentor?
I do. I like
you
it.
You think it's good? You think you have a chance of, you know, enrolling some stranger to help you?
Depends
you
on your
know.
LinkedIn profile and how you approach it.
Animal, what is LinkedIn for? What do people use LinkedIn
recruiting
for?
People.
Networking.
For recruiting people, not asking people for favors.
Recruiters use it for recruiting.
You know what?
Everyone else uses it for networking.
I get all this garbage mail from on LinkedIn. I just delete it. Strangers are asking me for favors. I'm busy.
Networking is another form of, hey, can you help me out?
Yeah.
Networking is baloney.
Exactly.
On LinkedIn.
Exactly. No,
they're there
baloney.
So they can hear about jobs from time to time.
Tim.
There are professional associations for networking that are much easier. Your local engineering group, your local Better Business Bureau.
Your LinkedIn group.
Yeah.
There's engagement going on in the LinkedIn groups.
Oh, that's different, Maureen. That's
it's LinkedIn.
That's building, Maureen, building a relationship. It's not calling somebody out on the finding a guy on LinkedIn and sending him a message, I want you to be my mentor.
All I'm saying is if you're active in a group that's of interest to you and has like-minded
that's
individuals.
True. I'm with you on that. But
yeah,
actually,
then you may as well join us so you can see resume and job interview tips from everybody in the world. Those groups are ridiculous.
Who can help you develop in your role?
Okay.
Can I ask a relevant question?
I like some of those groups.
Somebody wants to ask a question there?
It's crap.
Yes, it's Nate Sigma.
Nate Sigma, go ahead.
Hey. Hi, folks. How are you? Got a question in regards to this. Unfortunately, I only came in the last half of the show. Where are you guys in regards to your U.S. concept? Because I'm not seeing a whole lot of activity in the U.S. from your site.
Well, we're as active in the U.S. as we are in the U.K. We've got an office out in New York. And I'll be happy to.
But I mean, but are you guys hitting up like marketing to colleges and universities and stuff out here? Because I'm like looking at people's public profiles. And kind of searching through what I see here, and I'm literally not seeing anybody in the U.S. utilizing you guys' service in a public format.
We're more active in the corporate market out in the U.S.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay. Now,
kind of shut him down
question.
There, Nick.
You didn't answer his question, but you know what? I'm going to close.
Nate,
I have to close off
Nick.
Now. It's a disorganized show. I want to.
That's all right. We still love you,
Jerry. No, wait a sec. I want to apologize to Eric Putkonen, and I hope he comes on another time. But, you know, I think we did a fairly decent job on your business, Tim, even though you only got a half an hour, really. But I thought we did. And the thing I don't understand is I'm not a great salesperson. But when people come
Clearly.
On here, yeah, here, Jerry. When people come on my show, after 5 minutes, I can sell their product better than they can. I don't understand what's going on. And my advice to you, Tim, is to tell people in the future that I supply high-tech, sophisticated applications forms to corporations, not CVs. You're not selling CVs to the average schmo. Your client is a corporation, and it's an application form. Outside
Animal,
from that,
that's what
I
do
all
day. That's
the,
what I do all day. So when
talk.
I come on your show, I'm looking for some light relief.
Okay. Thank you for all the compliments you've given me over time. If you never give me another one, I've had enough from you that I appreciate it. You've got a big investment in the emotional bank with me. Secondly, you stepped in because you thought that my guest, as I thought as well, was not going to show up. I was 99% sure. So I appreciate that, you coming on without any prep or anything like that. Although, as I said, you're a sales rep. You should always be prepared. And your website is innovatecv.com. I advise you in the future, talk a little louder. Just give it a little more pep. And I hope you come back and call in again where you can't stay for Jerry's show. Jerry's got his after
Sorry,
show
Jim.
On now. So I'm going
to
say
I'm leaving.
You
need to pack your stuff and leave. Goodness. Well, another show, another guest that doesn't really explain his product anywhere near as concisely as Animal finally does in the end. Very interesting. Like that guy from, I don't know, a month ago, the VP of sales that got on, and I still didn't know what they did. Crazy. How's everybody doing?
Good. Jerry, you're really down on social media, aren't you?
I've kind of taken a break from it this summer.
Yeah. And how's that going?
I've realized just how worthless and absurd all that crap is. Mm-hmm. In terms of my business.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
Are you busy now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, good.
And, I mean, none of it in any way can be attributed to 95% of what all these people are talking about regarding social media and Twitter and Facebook fan pages. And
I'm very busy, too, and I've really pulled back.
I just don't have the time for it. And
mm-hmm.
and the less time I have to spend on Twitter and stuff,
mm-hmm.
the more time, I mean, it just business snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
people that are sitting around wondering how come they're not making any sales on, you know, sitting on Twitter, well, there
mm-hmm.
you go.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
it's
I
unbelievable.
Took a break. I've been gone for a month.
But they don't want to hear that, Jerry.
Oh, I know it. I know.
They don't
it.
Want to hear it.
Well, isn't it the concept, Jerry, that everyone out there is looking for support in concept in regards to how to do more business that way, but those of us who are truly busy aren't there?
I
to give them the support they need.
You know, it started kind of dawning on me when I realized that anytime, say, a new business item comes up or, say, I have a new client or, you know, any call to action that takes place, my first reaction has never been, well, I better get on Facebook. I better tell everybody on Twitter. I better update my LinkedIn stuff. That stuff is only, it's purely recreation. And so I really don't have much time with the. Though I do like some political stuff here and there on Facebook.
Yeah, you get into it, Jerry.
Well, I'm surprised how many business owners are actually extremely big government. It does surprise me, but it's just interesting.
Oh,
hey, everybody
Jerry,
gets one vote,
Jerry,
you know.
Jerry,
they got to use it. Use it.
True.
You know.
So I guess my question from that perspective, because he didn't really necessarily answer it, but like I don't see anybody on their site that's in the U.S. I've seen like a handful of people. Mostly it's European or Southeast Asia or...
I mean, do they
you can go
use
look
that
at it backwards.
How many placements do you do in the U.K.?
None.
Do they even use that expression
well, there you go.
TV
I mean,
in
they're,
the U.S.?
Yeah,
more in the educational arena.
Yeah, it is used strongly in education.
Yeah, and also in Europe from talking with, I want to say, Jason Lorenstein, he had made the comment to me once or twice that over in Europe, our industry is much more commoditized, where the fees are tremendously lower, and his viewpoint is that he thinks that the whole world should go low-cost, cheap RPO. But I found it interesting, which may lend itself to, in Europe, people looking for just a really low-cost, high volume, and plus one of the speakers did mention that some of their clients were more hospitality based that
mm-hmm.
are looking typically for, you know, it's not the level of people that my company looks for.
Maids.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're making their money specifically by charging people for access to this stuff, or
I can't figure that out. Probably to the clients for the use as well.
That's what it sounded like to me.
Because my concept is I'm not going to say anything out loud because obviously it'd be on recording. But I mean, it's not very secure from that aspect. If that's the case, then because it's easy to go find these people online.
Well, it is, but you know, this just reminds me of if we all pay attention to everything we've been hearing out there, and this guy and the other one that Manimal went out of business, Scavato, all of them. It just reminds me of the airline and the auto industry, the dot-coms, where you had 123 some odd auto companies around 1900, and a number of years later you had three airline companies the same, and the ones that everybody thought were going to be the leaders ended up not being GM, Ford, and Chrysler. So we're just in a shakeout period, and it's
right.
What works.
I mean, because these guys have an interesting concept from the perspective of, you know, they're gearing specifically towards the university marketplace, and you would think that they would almost become kind of like a mini job board or something for it, and that organizations would pay money to advertise people who are specifically in this class. Because right now, until Facebook comes out with anything, there's nobody that's in that level of, like, you know, 1 to 3 years of experience. There's no place to go find those people just specifically.
Yeah, but and there's a lot of companies.
That's not true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, where I mean, I like I said, I'm not in that marketplace. So I don't know, but that's just where I'm garnering that. I mean, where is
yeah,
the place?
There's there are several companies that focus specifically on the university level job board services and resume services.
Okay.
And if you want, I can give you a list offline of that. I don't want
to
take
up
the time.
Yeah, no, I'd just be interested to see.
You know,
no, that's fine. I'm just interested to
yeah.
see, because I don't see any big names that are out there towards that effect. So, and it just seemed odd. My only question
well, they,
is towards them in regards
they're,
to, I was expecting them to say, look, this is a marketplace that we're going to hit in the U.S. because if they go after it, as part of the shakeout, they may take a portion of it home, you know.
I think
also,
you mentioned an insurance company in New York.
Yeah.
Something
well,
like
they had
New York Life.
New York Life, yeah.
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 Oh, yeah,
we've
New York Life uses everyone.
We've got a P.O. box in New York, too, so.
Yeah, and also
I mean,
let's look
New
at York
really
Life,
cheap.
You know, uses every freaking site to go look for people. Christ, I get emails from New York Life every week.
There you
asking
go.
Me if I'm tired of recruiting. So
all right, let's get to some scores here. Nate.
I, you know, based on these guys, I mean, I was only there for like the last 20 minutes, but I'll say 80 and 75 for Animal.
Uh-huh. Maureen.
I do like 75 and 75.
So you're not really, you weren't really impressed with the show then. I mean, normally you're, well, we
way
haven't had you, had you on the show for a while, but I mean, you're normally
yeah.
a pushover.
Yeah.
Yes.
So a 75, I mean, it's kind of a slap in the face, really.
Well, take it or leave it.
All right. Alan.
I'm going to agree, 75 and 75, although I would have raised my scores if Ace Stringer had made a comment about I got love in my tummy. I was really looking forward to something like that.
Oh, good, good point. Good point. Is
I
Ace Stringer still here?
Who?
Mike.
Yeah, he's probably looking at resumes now.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else with scores today?
No, Jerry, but I have a quick question for the group, if you got a second.
Yeah, sure.
Anybody, quick shout-out. Anybody in the New York area with construction project controls knowledge, I'd love to talk to you. This is Alan Fleur. We've got a great client.
Hey, Alan.
You need some phone
forwarding?
I'm here, Alan. I
can hear that. Hey, Jerry, this is Nick. I've got scores.
Hello?
Did we lose Jerry?
Jerry went bye-bye.
Jerry?
Maybe
he's running through his database to go find a project controls guy.
Jerry's
there. Sorry about that, guys. I just had a business call there.
There you go.
Yeah,
which
I think it's other phone
100% of the time, always more important than any radio blog show.
Agreed. So, Jerry, I got 70s across the board from Nick.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, one thing that he said was interesting was that they've been in business for several years, so something's going on.
Business for several?
He said several years.
Yeah. Not
I
70.
Mean, they've got a ton of people in the U.K. It's just I'm not seeing anything.
Thank you. I'm just not impressed with video resumes, frankly. It is really
I think
not.
It's in its infancy, and somebody's going to have to come out and be almost...
It's been in its infancy for 20 years.
I remember seeing people doing this.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah.
I don't think that it is going to catch on anytime soon. And our culture, you know, North America culture, is more text-based in terms of its interactions and its direct calling. And even on Skype, like my friends on Skype tend to prefer to do text chat as opposed to video chat. We don't have the bandwidth infrastructure to make it a real-time functional thing. And until that really happens nationally across the U.S., I don't think we're going to see it. I think that we've got one or two generations away, not from technology, but from actual people. So we're talking, you know, 15 to 30 years before we see video resume and video interview really catching on in the U.S.
That's why the tool that we developed, Verbal summary is absolutely rock solid. Just had a customer, I don't know, 2 weeks ago say it's the very best, absolutely the top service any recruiter's ever even mentioned, let alone performed. A play button on top of the resume just to listen to the guy describe his background for a couple of minutes.
I think Animal should
no picture of some dude freaking out looking at a video camera. Nothing to download, no passwords, no software. Simply a play button on top of the resume.
Yeah, but you know, some people are mic shy.
Strike a chord.
So Some people are mic shy when they know they're being recorded. Just saying.
Wrong.
I think it's a great product.
Maureen, you've never used it?
Your product?
Yeah.
No, I've never used it.
Right, I have. I use it all the time. No, people love the idea of it.
Yeah, companies love the idea that they can hear, but all I'm saying is some people are mic shy about being recorded. That's all.
No, that's, well, you might think that.
I've done a thousand,
and no one has ever said, no, that freaks me out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even more are video shy. I bet you.
Oh, everybody's video shy. I'm video shy, even though I am attractive. Still.
In radio school, they have, they teach their students, how not to be mic shy.
I think you're
well. We teach our recruiters how to not be afraid of cold calling. I mean, that's a standard skill you've got to cover.
I tell my candidates that one of the reasons that my customers like working with me is because when they get their resume from me, there's going to be a play button on the top. Mm-hmm. So when my customer clicks the play button, they get to listen to them talking about their background for a couple minutes, and they say, "Oh, that sounds cool."
I think if you put pictures on there too, that they'll go nuts for that because people go nuts for pictures.
No pictures.
I
place just as many ugly,
weird-looking
people as anything else.
I know your awesomeness is going to break the camera lens, but...
yeah, no.
To put it out there.
I think there is a huge value in giving your manager a glimpse into someone's communication skills and command of their profession.
Absolutely.
Whether they can stare in a video screen without breaking into a sweat for 5 minutes... it's not what my customers are looking for. But they do like hearing them talk about their background. But enough about me and why I'm kicking everybody's ass. Speaking of that, I've got to get back to work, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Yummy, yummy.
Mama! Sometimes we should never been born at all. Carry on. If nothing really matters.